start by making good connections. So you can solve it and make connections.
Things do not arise from a single cause alone, and they are not produced through the operation of a single condition alone. One should understand that whatever is experienced is produced by a collection of interdependent causes and conditions, just as in a dream or an illusion or the reflection of the moon in the water.
Yeah.
Which is created through thoughts. It is in fact the changes in one's own thoughts that one is experiencing as change. However, within the very essence of the fundamental nature, which is the Buddha nature, the clear life, there are no changes at all. So when it comes to the confusion that is in the mind, the various forms of confusion and the delusion that one experiences, these are something encountered in the context of conventional notions. And in the usage of conventional terminology, can be corrected through valid cognition. However, one is still within that range of conventions, which remains relative. Whereas in the genuine reality itself, which is the basic nature, there are no illusions of any kind, and no terminology. And also, in order to practice Dharma, it is important and necessary to remember impermanence, and therefore you will see all of the eight things to be done. To remember impermanence is taught to be the cause enabling you to enter into the Dharma in the beginning. And it is the resource or the friend of your practice as you go along your path, in the sense that it strengthens your diligence. And at the end, it enables you to finally perfect
yang zopa sanje je gopang gopa la loba tam mulo ve che par hi go pe sen no tani tul na wa tu ni so ko so ko
in order to be able to actually accomplish Buddhahood, one needs to be able to, one must be able to distinguish what is deceptive or misleading from what is not. And therefore, we will sing the song on the 12 things which tend to be misleading.
So we continue from the day before yesterday with the explanation of the eighth topic, which is unchangingness, and that had different sub-points. And one was the explanation of interdependent origination, which is taught in 3 points. And the first of these is explanation by means of joining an example and its meaning. And there we have been through the example and through the meaning, and now it's explained both, combining both example and meaning together.
Satan, Rava, Pumbo, Dan, Jinji, Kanan, Kibarasa, Chokan, Tanda, Lujinji, Ledan, Mun, Kisa, Chorji, Mani, Zin, Longa, Kamsan, Rava, Yinamka, Kangin, Deki, Jimmy, Nebami.
And so this verse reads, the skandhas, the entrances and the elements, are to be understood as being similar to earth. The karma and the mental poisons of beings should be known to be similar to the element of water. The improper conceptual activity is viewed as being similar to the element of wind. The nature of the mind is like the element of space. It has no ground and does not abide anywhere.
Lujin nam je le sa kwa tan je pa tan nyum mong ba nam ne phong bo tan jin che tan khan nan ro ro par se pe jin do hi par sa te so ri je ma yin be ye la se pa ne le ta nyum mong ba kwen ni long se long ga kham je chue jin ko je tin se pa tan ra war ta kyen ri par sa wo. Same day, Rangin, the Yinki, when Yingbo, Namka Kanji, Tamche, Tin Sejang, Kanayang, Meneba Yin, Lor, Wa, Namje, Tin Sejang, Ranga Mo, Tinny, Yakanayang, Temba Jin, Mayimba Yendo, Mayinkin, Kanyang Neba Mido.
And so, in the same way as the earth, or the mandala of the earth, the circle of the earth, comes into existence on the basis of the mandala of water, then similar to that, the skandhas, which will attract suffering, the 12 ayatanas, or entrances, and the 18 elements come into existence on the support of karma and the mental poisons. Or in other ways, the element of water is the condition, or acts as the condition, which brings about the formation of the circle of earth. And in the same way, the polluted karma and the mental poisons of sentient beings constitute the condition for the formation of the skandhas, the ayatanas, or entrances, and the elements. And then again, the circle or the mandala of water, when the a world comes into existence, is based upon the element of wind. And this is similar to improper conceptual activity or wrong way of thinking, whatever one wants to say. This is similar to the element of wind, since the improper conceptual activity or wrong or perverted thinking stirs up karma and the mental poisons and brings them fully to life or fully activates them. And then again, the mandala of wind is based upon the element of space. And all the other, like earth, water and wind, everything is based upon the element of space. And although space acts as the basis for all of this, then itself it does not rest upon anything. And in the same way, the nature of the mind, or the Tathagata Garbha, acts as the support for everything that is adventitious, for every pollution that is able to be removed. But looking at its own essence, then as far as that is concerned, it has no basis in any ground and does not rest upon anything. This is quite easy to understand and does not need any further explanation.
And
so the next verse explains the way in which coming into existence or generation takes place. And that reads, the improper conceptual activity rests upon the nature of the mind. The improper conceptual activity creates the full division of karma and the mental poisons. From the water of karma and the mental poisons, the skandhas, the entrances, and the elements arise. Just as this world arises and disintegrates, they will arise and disintegrate as well.
Long jingur nam kala ne patal. Long te nam kala ne te. Tene ne no jingi tingi tingi. Te tardo. Chorgin mayin ba yila seba. Sepa nam do ten. Semje rangin voisala. Longi
And so this again, which is said is easy, and here it says that in the same way as the circle of wind rests upon space, and in this way space is said to be the basis of the whole world. So in the same way, all the thoughts which constitute an improper conceptual activity, they rest or are based upon the nature of the mind, which is luminous or which is clear light, and they rest upon it in such a way that they obscure this clear light nature of the mind. And in the same way then, as wind supports water, the improper conceptual activity, all kinds of improper thoughts, give rise to or create the full division of opportunities for the development of karma and the mental poisons. And in the same way, as the ground of the earth emerges from the circle of water when it is churned, I think one says. Then likewise, the polluted skandhas, the entrances and the elements, and in this way all existences which contain suffering emerge from karma and the mental poisons, which can be compared to water. And therefore, for this reason, the skandhas, the entrances and the elements which are bound up with pollution or which are polluted will arise and disintegrate, and this can be compared to the way in which the vessel of this world arises and disintegrates within space.
Surje Mayimbe Yezi Ki Sava Sinja Loka Topa Norva Topala Surje Mayimbe Yezi.
And so what is called improper conceptual activity, this is consists of all the thoughts which are erroneous or which are faulty, one can say, which do not correspond to reality. For example, when thoughts which contain the idea of holding what is impure to be pure, of holding what is impermanent to be permanent, of holding suffering to be happiness, and of holding what does not exist as a self to be a truly existing self, then these four thoughts are improper conceptual activity, or in other words, wrong or perverted thoughts, ideas.
Sinja loka namto, norva namto, malang o mahi bakapso, malang o mahi te, malam janawala, dambar hembate, so he might be.
And would you say, to make it very easy, one can say what is here called improper conceptual activity. These are thoughts which are based upon an error, which are faulty. This can be compared to dreaming and not recognizing that one is dreaming, and therefore holding the dream appearances for truly existent. So then this kind of idea is improper conceptual activity or wrong thinking. And on the basis of this type of wrong ideas and concepts, thoughts, then first mental poisons will arise, and on the basis of these again one will accumulate karma. And so mental poisons and karma are likened here to water, and then out of the water like karma and mental poisons and karma, then the five skandhas, the 12 ayatanas or entrances, and the 18 elements will arise. And then in the same way as the world comes into existence and later disintegrates, and in the same way also these come into existence and disintegrate.
Then Dordana, Numona, Tende, Lesa, Lela, Tende, Tene, Deva, Doma, Natsubanyo.
And to make it very short and easy, Rinpoche said then on the basis of mental poisons one accumulates karma, and on the basis of this karma one then has to undergo various sufferings.
Tene, Natsu, Dame, Babongo, Bijum, Tende, dame pa gomna dami jenelo to na tene da to mumba mare pangagre te gana nyumonga nyumonga pe lenga le masa pe tene kobal.
And so this is also the reason which is said why we should meditate on the non-existence of a self. Once through this meditation we have realized the nature of selflessness, then by this realization our basic ignorance is cleared. Once ignorance has been clarified, there will be no arisal of mental poisons. When there are no longer any mental poisons, one will not accumulate karma. When one has not accumulated any karma, one will not be forced to be reborn within samsara or the cycle of existence. It's undefiled and free from any stains, extremes, and that is first explained by means of the explanation of the way in which the essence is free from arisal and cessation. And this reads, like the element of space, the nature of the mind does not depend upon causes or conditions, nor does it depend upon a gathering of these. It has no arisal, no cessation, no abiding. So the essence or the nature of our mind, in which it says, or the way in which our mind truly exists, then this is similar to space, in that the nature of our mind, just as space, has not come about due to causes and conditions. And if one puts that into a logical argument, then given the nature of our mind, it is similar to space, since it is beyond or away from any causes and conditions. And it is also all right to say, since it is the expanse which is beyond causes and conditions. And the reason for this is the fact that the way in which our mind exists, or the nature of our mind, is free from an initial arising, it is free from a final cessation, and it is free from an abiding in the meantime. And for this reason then, it is beyond causes and conditions. And as far as the nature of the mind is concerned, there are two ways of describing it. One would be to say that it is equivalent to a state of total freedom from mental elaboration. And another way of explaining would be to say that the nature of the mind is clarity or clear light. In the view of those who follow the Rangtong Majjhamaka system, then they would say that the Buddha nature or the Tathagata Gaba is a state is a state which is totally beyond or free from any mental elaboration, any kind of concept. Whereas those who hold the view of the Shentong Majjhamaka system would then say that the Buddha nature is not just sheer emptiness, it is also not just a state of pacification of our mental elaboration, but it is the nature of the mind is by nature clarity or clear light. And the way then in the Buddha nature is empty according to this view is that it is empty of any kind of pollution or stain, and furthermore empty of any kind of anything that is conventional, anything that is, so to speak, connected with terms. And one can say, like one cannot lay one's hand on it, in terms of saying it exists or it does not exist. It is, so to speak, away from any kinds of terms and words. And so in this way then, in the view of the Shentong Majjhamaka, the Tathagatagarbha or the Buddha nature is described. And then when it says, so it says here that the Buddha nature does not depend upon causes and conditions, that has been explained. And it says further, nor does it depend upon a gathering of these. And Rinpoche said, so this is very easy. Since there is no coming together of causes and conditions, then initially to the Buddha nature there is no arisal, it never comes into existence, and not having come into existence at any time, it will never cease, there will be no cessation, and there being no coming into existence and no cessation, there is also not a time span while it abides in the meantime. This is similar to what Milarepa has said in his song on the three nails. To describe the nails, no, which one was it? Yeah, view, isn't it? Yeah. To describe the nails related to view, the three, our life's appearances being a factor of mind, in luminosity space is native mind, in that there is no discrimination at all. And so in this way, also Milarepa himself has described the nature of the mind as being luminous or clear light. So therefore we should sing this song.
Mm-hmm.
And when Milarepa says in luminosity space is native mind, he also described the nature of the mind as being beyond any conventional terms, concepts, and words. And beyond, sorry, beyond anything kind of substantial.
Nipa tela tme tme tapacho ne.
And then the second point explains the way in which the nature of the mind is totally pure and never touched by any defilement. This clear and luminous nature of the mind. And the first two lines of this verse, then the nature of the mind, which is clarity and luminosity, this is likened to space. And the second line then teaches that, like space, the nature of the mind is totally unchanging or changeless. And so this means, which is said, that the nature of our mind is clear light, and this is not such that there will be clarity at times, and at other times there would be none, but the essence of our mind is always luminosity or clarity. And the next two lines then explain that this nature of the mind is never stained by any obscuration, is totally unstained. So all the adventitious defilements, and these are the mucchasetta, desire, anger, hatred, jealousy, pride, and so forth, all of these come about through wrong or incorrect thoughts, but they never pollute or stain the nature of the mind or the Buddha nature itself. So here, Muchi said, when the nature of the mind is described as being unchanging, then this again is to be understood that this is only true, so to speak, on the basis of using terms, when it is described by means of terms. In actual fact, the nature of the mind is beyond both being changing or changeless.
And
so Umuchi said, if the Buddha nature, the nature of the mind, is described as being clear light, then one may wonder, is this clear light, so to speak, changing or not? And then by means or on the level of conventional terms, then it is described as being changeless. But if one asks oneself, what is this essence or nature of the mind in actual fact, or was it, what is it ultimately, then it is beyond terms such as calling it changeless or changing.
So, Muji
said this can be compared to, for example, if one puts sugar in one's mouth and then tastes it, and so this taste is actually, what is actually tasted is totally beyond any term, beyond anything one could call it. But if one wants to relate to somebody how nice it is, so to speak, one has to use terms on the conventional level. And so then he said in Tibetan, for example, or we say the same, or in English now we say it is sweet. But the taste as such is beyond this type of terms and has got nothing to do with it. So although the essence or the nature of the mind is beyond any terms and beyond any words, but then if these are not used, the ignorance in this world will not be eliminated. There will be no way to communicate. It's the same when we eat food. Then some people will say this is sweet, or it's the contrary. So we have to use this kind of terms. And so, although the way the mind actually exists, or the nature of the mind, is free from any kind of conventional term, free from any words and so forth, then one also has to understand the necessity of using terms and words to describe it.
Tene trema meba deyang nelok semji nelok moma le trema meba tam lor je trema yoba de tene nyama ten je trepa nyama rangu ngo la tene trepa kanya yoma re ina yang nyama ta meka pata la ten je trepa.
And so as for the way in which the nature of the mind is totally free from any pollution or stains, then the Muji said, as far as the essence is concerned, it is never, at no point, been touched by any stains. It is just covered by pollution or stains which are adventitious, or in other words, able to be removed. And this is, can be compared to the sun when it is veiled by clouds. Then also when the sun is veiled by clouds, the sun itself is not stained or polluted by these clouds. Still, one cannot see it with one's eyes.
Dine saja chindu kaabu kaabu senje nelo te satong yemi kikri kare sana kolo parpa kaabu tongba tzori kipare kolo somba dekhi nipun dode nam tam yoy lama kaabu esa tzori kipare dine dine
And then on the level of the Vajrayana, the nature of the mind is described as being the inseparable union of emptiness and clear light, or clarity. And Rinpoche said, so this is actually something which builds up gradually during the teachings which pertain to the, or belong to the second turning of the wheel of the Dharma. Then the nature of the mind is mainly taught under the aspect of its emptiness. And then during the Tathagatagarbha Sutras, in the context of those, during the third turning of the wheel of the Dharma, then it is mainly the aspect of clarity or clear light is taught. And Mucha said, if immediately the nature of the mind were described as the union of emptiness and clear light, then this would be very difficult to understand. So this kind of view is introduced gradually. One first has to gain a firm conviction why one can say that the nature of the mind is empty, and then on the basis of this one has to gain a firm conviction of its aspect of clarity, and having, so to speak, gained this understanding, then one will also understand the union of emptiness and clarity. So, if Mucha says, if one just spoke of this union of emptiness and clarity, and people should, and try to make people understand it, they would not be able to, it would be difficult. Therefore, these aspects of emptiness and clarity have to be presented separately and well understood separately, and then after that one will also understand, so to speak, their union. And cessation or disintegration are summarized, and that again has several sub-points. And the first is, so to speak, a summary of the description in which way the nature of the mind is free from arisal and disintegration. And here it says, this nature of the mind is not brought into existence by the water of karma and the mental poisons and so forth. Hence it is also not consumed by the cruel fires of death, sickness and aging. Here it describes that the nature of the mind, or which is the luminous Dhamma Dhatu, this is not generated or brought into existence by improper conceptual activity, which is like wind, and it is also not brought into existence by karma and the mental poisons, which are similar to water and so forth. And since it does not come into existence due to these causes and conditions, it is then also not destroyed or consumed by the fires of death, sickness and aging. And so death is likened to the fire at the end of time, sickness is likened to the fire of hell, and aging, the process of growing old, is likened to ordinary fire. And the reason why the nature of the mind is not harmed by these is the fact that it has not come about due to causes and conditions, and is as such uncreated, and that it is unchanging. It does not change into something else.
Then
And so to put this into a logical argument, then one can say, given this nature of the mind, or the Dharma Dhatu, it is not brought into existence, or it is not generated by the mental poisons, karma, improper conceptual activity, and so forth. And as such, it is also not consumed by the fires of death, sickness, and aging, since it is changeless and not dependent upon causes and conditions. And this is all, has also been expressed in one song by Milarepa that he sang to Sula. That he sang to the Mahasiddha Dhamma Sangye, and in this Milarepa expressed that the nature of the mind is free from death since it is unborn. And that corresponds to what is said here as well. And he has also said that arisal and cessation, or in other words, birth and death, are just illusory appearances due to delusion, due to the clinging to real existence, and that as to the true nature, there is no such thing as birth and death. So Milarepa said he looks at this true nature which is free from birth and death. And once one has realized the meaning of freedom from birth and death, then although on the relative level one is born and so forth, one will not be afraid of this anymore, one will not suffer by it, and this is similar to the way in which Gyutsangpa has said, even though he died, this would be, one will delight in it, which is that when this happens, just as Gyutsangpa said, when the moment of death comes, that would be no fear, but that would be delightful. And in accordance with this verse in his song, at the time when Gutsangpa went into the state of Nirvana, then all his disciples were gathered around him, and he sang a pleasant song and smiled, and in this way he left.
No? Already
died. Oh, yeah.
He came back and sang.
Oh. Right. Did everyone hear that? He had already died. I got that wrong. And then his disciples were so sad and cried, so he came back and sang this song, and then went into Nirvana. Yeah? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not this song, another one.
Then Dendra wo shena drapa te sheva mulam ta wo sheva mulam ta wo to ko te shen te so
ne ne and this is because he realized that death was just a concept. It was just like it was dream life and did not really exist. And then the second point is the explanation or summary of the way in which then disintegration takes place.
And
this is just a
moment.
The three fires of death, sickness, and aging are to be understood in their given sequence as being similar to the fire at the end of time, to the fire of hell, and to ordinary fire.
Rimbaki
and so, as has been said already, then death, sickness, and aging are likened to the three fires of the fire of the end at the end of time, and Rinpoche says it is described that when a world comes to the end of its existence, it is then consumed by a great fire. And so death is likened to that, sickness is likened to the fire of hell, and the process of aging is likened to ordinary fire. And this is due to the fact that just as the world is destroyed by the fire at the end of time, then the skandhas of this life are destroyed by the fire of death. And in the same way as the fire of hell generates suffering, then the same does the fire of sickness. One experiences suffering. And just as ordinary fire, literally it says, causes the ripening of anything, or you can also say here maybe the consummation, then in the same way, the fire of aging causes the final ripening of the skandhas.
Tene me sambo te ton tam temba mato na nimi me nda ore tumba ni che ton to namlam ji me nda ji.
And so Rinpoche said, as long as one does not realize the meaning of emptiness, then this is like real fires experienced, and as soon as one realizes the meaning of emptiness, then these are like a fire experienced in a dream.
So ba ne long tha to ko wang de se na me sum pa ti ya pa tang me pa tham je le de ba re
And if this is then explained in accordance with the explanation of the ultimate true nature, then one can say that these three fires are beyond both being existent or non-existent.
And so
the way in which the Buddha nature is unchanging is explained by means of three stages or phases. And so these are the stage in which the Buddha nature has not been purified from any stain which is to be given up on the path of seeing and meditation. That would be the state of an ordinary being. And the second, and it is unchanging in that state, the second aspect, second point then describes how it is unchanging in the state of a bodhisattva, when the stains which are to be given up through seeing are purified, but the stains which are given up through meditation are not yet purified. Sorry. And the third is then the utterly purified phase, when all the stains are eliminated. And out of these three, the first unchangingness has been explained now. And tomorrow Rinpoche will explain unchangingness in the partly purified and partly unpurified phase. And to put it very short, also in the state of an ordinary being, no matter how much desire, anger and jealousy, whatever may arise within a being, then these do never defile or change the true nature of the mind. And it is also not in the slightest changed by any suffering, whatever suffering may arise to us. The suffering of based upon the body of physical discomfiture, or the suffering based upon not having wealth that one desires, or the suffering based upon not being together with friends or having to be together with enemies, or the suffering of a friend changing into an enemy, all these kinds of sufferings will never change the true nature of the mind. And now we recite the root. And for those who mainly meditate according to the view of the Shendong Majamaka system, then one should recite and think about these verses teaching the unchangingness of the Buddha nature in the three phases of total impurity, or not being purified at all, being partly purified and unpurified, and being totally purified. And if one meditates in this way, then combined with one's meditation, one's discriminative wisdom or one's understanding will increase, will jointly increase, And when one thinks about the reason why is this Buddha nature unchanging, even when it is not at all purified from all the gross impurities, why it is unchanging when it is partly purified from grosser defilements but not from the subtler ones, and why it is unchanging when it is totally purified from whatever defilement or stain. So now we recite the prayer of Maitreya, and is anybody there who does not have a book?